The three things that are special about today, yes. Yes, well done. Three reasons why today is special. It is Mother's Day today. And so all of us got out of bed extra specially early, and then we made our beds and tidied our rooms, and then we quietly crept downstairs, and we put the kettle on and made a cup of tea, and we cooked the breakfast, and we carried it all upstairs on a tray to our mothers, and we gave them their breakfast in bed, didn't we? Oh dear. You didn't do that. Did anybody do that? All of those things? I'm not sure about that. I'll ask you afterwards. That's the sort of thing we should be doing for our mothers. Not only today, but every day. Because if it wasn't for our mums, where would we be? We all think, yes, well, we've all seen Home Alone, and we all think, wouldn't it be wonderful if we were left at home all by ourselves? And after a while, we think, who's going to cook my tea for me? Who's going to tuck me up in bed at night? Who's going to read me a story? I want my mummy. Wouldn't we? Yes, we would. There was a song sung by Rolf Harris many years ago, in which he was a little boy, all lost and alone in a big shop. And do you know what he said because he couldn't find his mummy? I want my mummy! And he's very pleased when he found her, even though she did something to him. Do you know what she did to him? She smacked him very hard for getting lost. And he was very pleased to find his mummy again. I want to talk to you this morning about a very important mummy in the Bible. Her name was Mary. Does anybody know how many Marys there are in the Bible? Matthew. Three. Any advance on three? Mr. Blue thinks possibly he might just know. How many do you think it is? And they are. As Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and you think one at the end of Romans. It shows you have to be very careful when you're reading the Bible that you don't confuse your Marys, or others as well. The same name is given to different people in the Bible. But I want to talk to you about Mary. Now, you don't hear very much about Mary in Protestant churches. That's what we are. We're a Protestant church. If you go to a Roman Catholic church, all you'll hear about, or most of the time what you'll hear about, is about Mary. But unfortunately what they tell you about Mary is completely and utterly wrong. They have distorted what the Bible says. So we go by what the Bible says. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about what Mary did in the Bible, and the example that she can be for us. Now, because Roman Catholicism gets it so wrong about Mary and talks about her so much, Protestant churches tend to go to the other extreme and say nothing about her at all. So I'm just proving that that is not always the case by talking about her today. There are things we can learn from her. Now, first of all, when does she appear in the Bible? Well, she first appears in this chapter that we just read in Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, it tells us that in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was, who can tell me what the virgin's name was? The virgin's name was, oh come on, it begins with M. Yes. Mary. Someone's awake. I think perhaps we'd better have the overhead projector off now so that you can concentrate. Her name was Mary. Now, who can tell me, was Mary perfect? Had Mary ever done anything wrong? Mary had never done anything wrong. She'd never sinned. Is that what everybody else thinks? Do you think they're right or do you think they're wrong? Well, what does the Bible tell us? We go by what the Bible says. And what the Bible tells us is in Luke chapter 1 and verse 47, Mary prays to God and she says, "My soul has rejoiced in God my Saviour." But if Mary had not sinned, if Mary was perfect, why would Mary need to be saved from her sins if she hadn't got any? So Mary here acknowledges in this verse that she is a sinner. So therefore Mary is just like you and me. She sinned, and she needed to be forgiven. Mary was not perfect. Mary was not spotless. Mary was not without sin. She had done things that were wrong. And we'll see how this works out as we go through. Now was Mary very rich, or was Mary very poor? Very poor. Does everybody else think she was very poor? I see some heads nodding. Any heads shaking? Was Mary rich or was Mary poor? You're right, she was very poor. How do we know Mary was very poor? Well, after Jesus was born, in Luke 2:24, we read that they went up to the temple to present Jesus in the temple, and they offered two turtle doves according to the law. Two turtle doves or two pigeons. But you look back into Leviticus in the Old Testament to see what you had to do, and you find that two turtle doves or two pigeons was what you were allowed to give if you hadn't got anything else. So you had to be very poor in order to only offer two pigeons or two turtle doves. So we find that here is a woman who was very poor, who was a sinner, and yet God chose her to be the woman who would give birth to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, if she was a sinner, and if she was very poor, did she deserve to have this great blessing of being the mother of Jesus? Did she deserve it? Who thinks that she deserved it? Does everybody agree? Matthew agrees. Howard's got to sleep. Well, let me tell you the answer. The answer is no. You were wrong. She didn't deserve it because she was a sinner. And sinners don't deserve anything. Now, all of the children, or most of the children, have had sweets this morning. And I think I still have some left. Did you deserve this morning to have a sweet? The answer is... Right, if you think the answer is yes, tell me why you deserve to have a sweet. That doesn't mean you deserve something. If you deserve something, therefore you've earned it. Why do you deserve it? What have you done to deserve a sweet? I could have stood here today and said, right, you can have sweets, and the rest of you can't. Would that have been fair?
No.
Yes, it would have been fair. Because none of you deserve to have sweets. None of you have done anything for me that means I should give you a sweet. So I chose to give sweets. And I might have chosen only to give them to some. Jonathan, don't do that to the book, please. It damages it. None of you deserved a sweet. It's only because I chose to give you a sweet that you had one. And I could have chosen not to give you one. Now, you must remember that when you go to your mum and say, give me some food, give me some sweets, give me some money, as if you deserve to have sweets or food or money, because you don't deserve to have sweets or food or money. You don't deserve anything. Not a thing. Do you know the reason why your mums give you food and sweets and all the other things they give you? Does anybody know why? Why? Because you've been good. Have you been good? No. No, you haven't been good. No one's been good. Matthew definitely hasn't been good. Nobody has been good. None of us deserve anything from our mums. Don't you know why your mums do things for you? You've all been naughty. You don't deserve anything. Why do your mums give you things and do nice things for you? It's because your mums love you. That's why. It's not because you deserve it. It's because your mums love you. Why did God give this great blessing to Mary? It wasn't because Mary deserved it. It was because God had a special love for her. That's why. So it's because of God's love, it's because she knew she needed a saviour, that God was her saviour and gave her this great blessing. It wasn't because she was special above anybody else. Well, then after Jesus was born, they took him to the temple, and in the temple they met a man. The man's name was Simeon. And Simeon said some things about Jesus. And Simeon said these words, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Now lots of people know that those are the words of Simeon. Lots of people could probably repeat them, because lots of people have learned them when they were at school or when they came to church. But what they don't know is what Simeon then went on to say when he spoke to Mary. And what it says in Luke 2:33, it says, And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. What's Simeon saying there? He's warning Mary that a time will come in the future when something very unpleasant is going to happen to her son. And the sword piercing her soul would be her sadness and her grief at that happening to her son. Now, I wonder if any of you have ever seen your mums cry. Hands up if you've ever seen your mum cry. I wonder if you know what made them cry. There are lots of different reasons, but sometimes it's because you're not well. Sometimes it's because you've hurt yourself, and you might be crying, and that upsets them. It's like a sword through their soul. There are lots of times when children do things that upsets their parents, their mothers. So one time when a mother cries for you is when you hurt yourself. Who can think of another time when mums cry for you? Now, this won't be true of everybody here yet. Certainly it's not true of the children. Matthew, when you die. Well, that's another one. Yes, I haven't thought of that one. Sometimes children die before their parents. That's unusual. One of my cousins died nearly 2 years ago. And his father died a few weeks ago. That's unusual. Usually parents die before their children do. So that would be an unusual one, Matthew. There are, I'm thinking of at least two other times when mothers cry for their children. Usually, especially mothers for their sons. I'll have to tell you. It's when they leave home. When you leave home, when you go away, you might go off to college or university, then your mums will cry. Because you're leaving home and they're not able to look after you anymore. And there's another time when they cry, even after you've left home. Does anybody know when that is? Don't you know when that is? It's when you get married. Getting married, that's right, Howard. When you get married, your mums cry because not only have they gone away, but now there's someone else to look after them instead of me. Because they love you, and they love looking after you. Guess what? I've got a special treat this week. My mum's come to look after me while my wife goes away to see her mum. So I think I am going to get rather fat this week. Because my mum loves me, and wants to make sure that I eat all the food that I need to. Except the spinach. So mothers cry and weep for their children for a number of reasons, but it's all because they love them. And when a child is suffering greatly, then a mother cries particularly. Let me ask you the question, why would Mary particularly cry over Jesus? What was going to happen in Jesus' life that would make her cry? Come on. What happened to Jesus on the cross? He died. And he died a very cruel death. Very unpleasant. And Mary was there. Mary was watching him die. That was the sword piercing her heart. She was very upset. Very upset indeed. But how did Mary respond to Jesus? She had this amazing son. People kept saying all these remarkable things about her. When the wise men came and met Jesus, when he was a little baby, what did they do? They brought him gifts, gold, frankincense, myrrh. They bowed down and worshipped him. Why are they bowing down and giving all these gifts to my little baby? The night he was born, what happened? Shepherds came along and they said, we've just seen the whole host of heaven sing praise to God and telling us to come and see this little baby. What do you think she thought about this little baby of hers? She thought, this is remarkable. She treasured all these things up in her heart. When Jesus was 12, they went to Jerusalem. And on the way back, Mary looked round with Joseph and said, well, where is he then? Where's he gone? He's disappeared. Who's he with? And after 3 days, they thought, we'd better go back and find him. They went back and found him, and there he was in the temple. And he was talking to people in the temple about God. And about God's plan. And God's mercy, and what God was going to do. Not many 12-year-olds do that. That's unusual, isn't it? And so Mary thought, what sort of son have I got here? He's never done anything wrong. He's always done everything right, unlike all of us. Have any of us never done anything wrong? Any of us? No, we've all done things wrong, but Jesus never did anything wrong. And so Mary thought to herself, I've got this son that's never done anything wrong. What sort of son have I got? This is remarkable. No other son is like this. Very strange. Very remarkable. But she knew that this son of hers was special, because when, in John chapter 2, they're at a wedding, and Jesus is there with his mother, and they say, we've run out of wine. His mother said to the servants, whatever Jesus tells you, that's what you should do. Very good advice. Do you think Mary is particularly special? Well, listen to Mary. And what Mary says is, whatever he says to you, do it. Whatever Jesus says to you, do it. That's the message of Mary to us all, that we should do it. And so they did, and they had enough wine for the wedding. But Mary didn't fully realize and understand who Jesus was. Most of the family thought that he was mad. You can read in John 7. They thought that he was a bit crazy. They say, come on then, if you're so wonderful, why don't you go to Jerusalem? They didn't really believe in him. There's various passages that tell us that. But yet, she was at the crucifixion. She saw him die. But also we read in Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, we see that there she is gathered together with the church. So clearly Mary was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Her sins had been forgiven because she put her trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's interesting that Acts chapter 1 verse 14 is the last time we read about Mary. You never read anything about her again in the whole of the rest of the Bible. Why Roman Catholics have got it so wrong. They say she's so important for our salvation. It's only important because she brought Jesus into the world. Jesus is the one who's important. Now, the Bible says that we must honour our father and our mother. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? You weren't listening, were you? The Bible says you must honour your father and your mother. So we should obey God and what is commanded. Also, there's an interesting verse in Matthew 19. Having said that mothers and fathers are very important, Jesus says this. He says, everyone who is left... That's not the right verse. That's the other verse I was going to refer to. There is another verse. I've forgotten where it is now. Mr. Booth will tell us afterwards. That says that if we are not prepared to leave mother, father, brothers, sisters, to leave all these people behind, we cannot be Jesus' disciple. He's not saying we should leave home. Some of the cults teach that. They say you've got to leave all your family and never have anything to do with them again. That's wrong. The Bible does not teach that. What Jesus is saying is that he is more important than your mother, than your father, than your brothers, than your sisters. We have to follow him first and foremost. Because if you do that, then you will be able to be a good boy and girl towards your mother and father. Because if you follow Jesus, then you will listen to what he says. You must listen to his own mother's words, what Mary said. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. And what he tells us to do is repent of our sins and to believe in him. Then we will know forgiveness. And that's true not only for the children, but also for the mothers, for the fathers, and for all the adults. Mary said, whatever he says to do, do it. He says that we must repent and believe. So for all of us, we must repent and believe. And having repented and believed, to take Mary's godliness, because we learn a little bit about her godliness, not a lot, we must take it as an example. We must be godly. We must walk after Christ. We must trust in him and do everything that he says. And that's what all of you should do. Listen to the Lord Jesus Christ and obey him. Trust in him, and then you will do the things that are right. So I hope you will all, especially the children, remember to do that.